All right, folks, welcome back. Third hour of the American Journal is on. I'm going to show a couple of videos here in this first 5 minutes and then talk about some very disturbing developments in the war in Ukraine. They're on the other side. But first, Mamdani's socialist pal Omar Feta runs for Minneapolis mayor. Socialist ally to Zoran Mamdani, Omar Feta is now running for Minneapolis mayor. Feta launched his bid on Sunday in a video announcement. I believe we might have that video announcement here, but it's the same video that you saw from Zoran Mamdani. Basically, they figured out that if you get a moderately charismatic brown dude and you just film him with DSLR walking around the street saying socialist talking points, this makes him an amazing hero and worthy of being your representative. Says, my name is Omar Feta, and I'm running for Minneapolis mayor because for working people, it's getting harder to build our lives in this city we love. To make affordable Minneapolis that works for everybody, we need a mayor that works as hard as we do. I'm ready to get to work. He said on X alongside a video of him talking about his candidacy for mayor. He just identifies as a democratic socialist, according to his government profile. And he's a state senator in Minnesota representing District 62. His platform for mayor includes making the city a safe haven for abortion as well as sex change surgeries. The platform includes a rent stabilization policy, which may be another phase for rent freezes, a policy that Manhattan has proposed, or Mamdani has proposed in New York. He wrote on X, he'll work to increase the minimum wage to $20 an hour by 2028, similar to Mamdani's $30 minimum wage policy by 2030. He said he will protect Minneapolis from the Trump White House, saying protecting all of our communities from Donald Trump means not letting MPD interact with ICE, whether it's for an immigration raid or not. Our residents deserve a mayor who will stand up to Donald Trump and say, no, not in our community. And of course, everybody, you know, pointing out this dude is not American in any sense of the word. Other people responding saying, how could he not be? He was raised in this country. He was born here. It's like, well, it turns out that's not enough. It turns out he's still loyal to his home country because it turns out that every other race and ethnicity has not been bastardized and deracinated and told to hate themselves. It turns out they, in fact, are still blood and soil nationalists just for their people and not for yours. Turns out this is just sort of the natural condition of every single human group, and it works for them. And it's only when the group is completely deracinated, completely had their history and self-esteem and accomplishments destroyed, that they, you know, wallow in desperation and failure. Let's go to clip number 9 now. God, he's so weird looking. Ain't he just weird looking? I almost want to draw him.
A fentanyl testing strips. But this summer, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me. Because we deserve nice things in Minneapolis, too.
No,
to make
don't.
An affordable Minneapolis that works for everyone, we need a mayor that works as hard as you do. I'm ready to work hard, too. One, build a Minneapolis that working people can afford to call home. Two, protect our city from a hostile White House.
Hostile
And three,
White House.
Diversify our city's public safety response. By increasing the minimum wage to $20 by 2028 and passing rent stabilization to stop price gouging and incentivizing new construction, we can protect workers. Protecting all of our communities from Donald Trump means not letting MPD interact with ICE, whether it's for an immigration raid or not. Our residents deserve a mayor that will stand up to Donald Trump and say, no, not in our community. Did you know that the city's own data showed that 47% of calls to MPD can be diverted to non-police response? Cops aren't social workers. Investments in programs like these ensure that the appropriate response arrives when we call 911. And we can actually free up police resources to focus on violent crime that detracts from community safety.
Is this really, we can take it down. I'll show you some more videos of this guy on the other side. Democracy was a mistake. I'm going to say it right now. Democracy is bad. I'll explain why on the other side. Look at me. I'm the mayor now.
Please. always remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
That's the headline. You know, it was this idea, America was this idea that you would have, you know, people that were already prominent and important in your community, natural community leaders, patriarchs, business leaders, people who'd proven they were trustworthy, that they cared about their community, and they could be elected to represent that community as a trusted voice for the people they come from. And now it's theater kids. Now it's theater kids with a social media management company. And apparently that qualifies you. You don't have to actually prove anything. You don't have to actually have ever done anything positive or beneficial in your life. You don't have to actually prove you have a command of, or even a elementary understanding of, not just the topics and you know, controversies that your office would have to handle, but you don't even have to be familiar with what your office does or how you would use it. And it doesn't matter if once you're elected, you completely fail in every possible regard. Thinking, of course, of Lena Hidalgo in Houston, Texas, a person who never had a real job, had basically, you know, had like an internship for some socialist commune in Colombia, and then became the head judge of Harris County. And since then, billions of dollars of flood bonds have gone completely missing. She's been embroiled in controversy the entire time. She's had to take off weeks and weeks from her responsibilities to deal with the depression that she experiences from being sad that she's incompetent. She'll probably be reelected, because why not? Right? I'm telling you, the American system is incompatible with the people that are now running it. The American system requires a population that is not out for themselves, that can understand second order effects, that isn't just greedily demanding things that other people have. I mean, that really bothers me. They've got some Somalian transplant going, "We deserve nice things in Minnesota." No, you don't deserve crap. You deserve less than you've already been given. We deserve. Like, you deserve to be shipped back to your country immediately. The scum. I mean, honestly, just the, you know, what else are you supposed to say? Just the scum. And the thing is, again, if you come to America, if you're the son of immigrants and you love America and you're genuinely American, I got no problem with you. Everybody on this show knows one of my best friends, Lebanon John, first generation American, right? His parents were from Lebanon. He was born here. And he understands America and believes in, you know, our founding principles more so than most of the white people I know. It's not an issue of ethnicity or even immigration status. It's an issue of loyalty. It's an issue of intelligence. It's an issue of these groups not coming to America as individuals or as families in order to, you know, join the fabric of this country, but instead are like hostile occupations, like groups of people in small geographic areas that have no interest whatsoever in becoming American or, you know, progressing American values. This is not the same. This is something else entirely. This is an invasion of hostile foreigners that don't even pretend to actually appreciate and wish to uphold American values. They genuinely don't. And they're getting elected because they literally have just like flashy social media. And promise to give people things. Vote for me, free stuff. And people do. And it's like, this is unsustainable. And that really is the ultimate issue with all of this, as we talk about how easy it is to solve all these problems. The issue is that so much of our populace are just stupid and selfish and just keep voting for the same people to enact the same policies that always have horrific outcomes, and they just keep voting for them. It's just crazy. People keep saying, yeah, you know, this guy's just as American as you and I. Well, I have a hard time believing that when you hear him say all this other stuff. Let's go to clip number 8 here. Minneapolis mayoral candidate Omar Fetta says something I would never say. Let's watch.
We should make dua for him and pray for him. I understand that our Somali communities are all connected to each other here in Minnesota and back home, and I ask for your support. There's always been a link between our community here as well as back home, and I'm running to bridge that gap and unite all of us and represent all of us, because when we succeed here, we succeed everywhere. And I'm hoping to do that just like Abdurazak, inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah indeed. If you refer to anywhere other than America as back home, you're not American. Maybe it's hard for you to understand because you're not American, but as an American who doesn't have another home, it's insulting to me to have somebody else who considers Somalia, quote, home, to tell me that they're just as American as I am. You're not. You're not. You have a loyalty to another country. You have a loyalty to another people. You have a loyalty to your people, exclusively Somalian people and Somalia, the country. When you refer to Somalia as back home, you're not American. Okay? Can we establish that? Again, insulting to me. And I'll just say, and I don't mean to be braggadocious here, but you literally cannot be more American than me. I'm descended from people who came on the Mayflower. There was no America before me. I'm descended from the first, the old 300. Stephen F. Austin brought over the first Anglos to settle in Texas. My family has been here for centuries and has contributed to this country and has built up the nation that Omar now wants to exploit for his own kind. You're not like me. You don't have the same loyalties to me. You're not in my family. You're a foreign occupier on my land. And we don't have to stand for it, and we shouldn't stand for it, and we wouldn't expect anybody else to stand for it. And some American went over to Somalia with a million of his family members and started to take positions in their government. for the sole intent and purpose of benefiting America, I'd be against that too. It's not actually that complicated. These people aren't American from their own protestations, their own statements. They are not American. They do not consider America home. Very insulting for somebody who has no other home to be told that he's as American as I am. We'll go to one more video here. Clip 9, Omar Feta, socialist running to be mayor. Here's his goal, why he's infiltrating the government. Let's watch.
Investing in increasing affordable housing and not gentrifying our neighborhoods. These are all things that are causing harm to our community because of this idea that there isn't money, when in reality, we do have this money to spend on this. It's just that we're choosing not to. It's not a value of ours. So right now, we're blessed to have three Somali elected officials at the Capitol. Me, Sister Holden Hassan, who's in the State House, and Brother Mahmoud Noor. And we work very closely together, and we carry each other's bills. So the way it works is, if there's a bill in the House, it needs an identical bill to be carried in the Senate for it to be negotiated and to pass in the committees, and then go on for the floor session, and then go on to the governor's signature. So we're able to pass our bills back and forth that'll help benefit our communities.
And that's what you want, right? I mean, it's just so insulting. He's like, the money's there. There's plenty of money for us in our communities. We just have to get it. We just have to prioritize us. He's not saying like, we can build ourselves up. We don't need any help. No, it's vote for me and I'll work with my fellow Somalis to get us some of their stuff. So again, don't tell me this guy's American. Don't tell me this guy's just as American as me. And you can't even tell me, honestly, any Somali in America is as American as me. When you look at the way that these people were brought over, it again, it's just an insult to the people whose ancestors, like myself, conquered a wild nation, crossed an ocean in a wooden ship, risking death at every turn. I mean, some of the stories, I should read some of the accounts from the frontiersmen, where, I mean, there were periods in this country where you had people traveling down the Ohio River trying to settle new lands, and 50% of the boats that they would send off full of pioneers would come floating back down the river surrounded by corpses. Everybody just got killed. Like, we conquered this nation. We put our lives at risk to establish this nation. The Somalis were brought over here in the 90s because a giant variety of NGOs paid their way and bought them everything, brought them over here, gave them jobs, set them up with houses, gave them a congressional district, and they're still not satisfied. And still every single clip you ever see of any Somali politician, it's just, how do we get more for us? The money's there. We just need to get it. Vote for me and I'll benefit our community and our homeland, because it'll never be enough. And there's another twist to this, which ties back to like the Black Hawk Down era and the Somali Civil War, and that there are American networks. And the idea was that we would bring over a bunch of Somalis and they would then send money to help build up our networks in Somalia, basically using the money sent from America to Somalia to fund the activities of our paramilitary stay behind networks there. So there's a whole other, complicated aspect to this. But it's just, I don't know. To me, it's just so insulting to hear the way that Somalis were literally brought. It's like the outbreak of the Somali Civil War in 1991, following decades of political instability, famine, and violence, displaced over a million Somalis. Many fled refugee camps to neighboring countries like Kenya and Ethiopia. The U.S., as part of its refugee resettlement program, began accepting Somali refugees during this period. The U.S. State Department works with voluntary agencies such as Lutheran Social Services, Catholic Charities, and the International Institute of Minnesota to resettle refugees. Minnesota, with its established history of successfully settling refugees, was a prime destination due to its robust support infrastructure, including housing, job placement, and social services. These agencies helped place Somali refugees in Minnesota, particularly the Twin Cities, where employment opportunities in industries like meatpacking, agriculture, and manufacturing were abundant. Yeah, everybody in Minnesota was just doing great. Every single person in Minnesota had a high-paying job with good vacation and great benefits, and they just had so much. They were looking to give it away, and the Somalis were there to accept it. Again, it's like it would be one thing if that was the case, if America was just cruising along doing great. Instead, we've got the Rust Belt developing throughout the 90s. You've got manufacturing shutting down massively as NAFTA is implemented. You've got millions of Americans out of work as everything's offshored overseas. They don't have job placement programs. They don't have an entire network of charities funding their lifestyles, supporting them, placing them in jobs, starting their careers, building them schools and hospitals. No, they're instead taxed to the nth degree. They're instead exploited endlessly to pay for tens of thousands of Somalis who will have their way paid for them. And then they turn around 2 years later and say, I'm just as American as you. Just brought over on a flying carpet. Given everything for free. Literally gifted a congressional district. And they're still not satisfied. And they feel like this is a victory they've achieved over America. It's just insulting. Many Somalis resettled in other U.S. states such as California, Texas, or Virginia, but later moved to Minnesota through secondary migration. This was driven by, quote, the call of kinship, where early arrivals shared positive experiences about Minnesota's job opportunities, affordable housing, and welcoming community with relatives and friends. Somalis, known for strong oral communication traditions, spread word of Minnesota's advantages, leading to more arrivals. Minneapolis's Cedar Riverside neighborhood, dubbed Little Mogadishu, became a cultural hub, further attracting Somalis seeking community and familiarity, but not, you know, building anything for themselves. No. They're not going to go to some empty place and build something there. No, they're going to take over your neighborhood. And it's now called Little Mogadishu. Wonder what Little Mogadishu looks like now. I wonder how it looked in the 1970s and 80s. Minnesota's economy in the 1990s and 2000s offered jobs that matched the skill levels of many refugees, particularly in labor-intensive sectors like food processing and manufacturing. The state's relatively low cost of living compared to other U.S. major cities made it attractive. Somali entrepreneurs thrived, establishing businesses like Carmel Mall, contributing to economic growth and community development. By 2006, Somalis in Minnesota accounted for $164 to $494 million in purchasing power and owned around 600 businesses. Well, congratulations to them. Do you realize how easy foreigners have it in this country? It is truly offensive. It's offensive to me. And it, all this stuff is offensive. I did a post the day before yesterday, I think, because I was watching a video of a woman with her cart just loaded with food, getting something like $870-something in groceries, paid for by the taxpayer, totally free. She's a single mother with kids, so she doesn't have to worry about, you know, budgeting or earning money. It's given to her. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, all right, what would happen if I, like, divorced my wife and disappeared? Because obviously, if I divorced my wife, there would be payments, whatever I'd have to pay her. But let's say I was out of the picture and it was just my wife and our three kids. And I asked Grok to tally up the total. And it got up to about $6,000 a month. Because you got the food stamps, which is EBT, and you've got the WIC, which is for children under five. All my kids are under five. It's upwards of $200 a kid per month for that. Then you've got the Medicaid, so cash equivalent of the insurance that I pay every month. Plus, they'd have mortgage assistance through Section 8. So it costs us about $6,000 a month to stay married. And apparently, a lot of religious communities around the country have realized this and utilized this. Apparently, the Orthodox Jews, the Hasidics in New York, do this practice where they get married religiously. They get married in their temple, but they never register it with the state. And so on paper, all of the mothers are single. So they get to apply for government aid on the claim that they're single, non-working mothers, when in reality their husband has a job. And it's just another one of these things where it's just like, how many ways do we punish people succeeding? How many ways do we disadvantage productive people in order to support unproductive people? And as it happens with individuals, it happens with communities. And if you're a white guy and you want to start a gas station, that's all on you, right? You're going to have to get the money loaned from a bank. You're going to have to pay them back with interest. You're going to have to take the risk. And if it fails, it's you that's on your ass. Now, if you're an Indian that comes to this country, you immediately qualify for $200,000 in grants that the American doesn't qualify for. You got all these NGOs, you've got all of these various diversity programs and, funding mechanisms that way, various grants that the government puts out. And it's just utterly and completely inverted. What type of country gives those types of benefits to foreigners, not their own people? What type of country looks at their own people and say, you're on your own, buddy, but the foreigner that's never contributed a single day in his life, none of his ancestors have ever even stepped foot in America, he gets $200,000 fresh off the boat. Plus, we'll pay for his lawyer to handle the immigration stuff. Plus, we've got all these corporations that are willing to pitch in. Plus, he's got his own ethnic network that they're able to, share information and scams they're running on everybody. Plus there's this big scandal of these same, corner stores, like Indian-owned corner stores. They'll actually go on EBT. They'll go on food stamps. They go to the grocery store. They buy milk, by the hundreds of gallons off EBT. It doesn't cost them anything. They go then jack up the price $4 and sell it from their stop and go. Just pure profit because their inventory is being paid for by the taxpayer. It's like, what type of country is this? What type of nonsense is this? How did they sell this to people? And how are they still getting away with it? Why are these same types of subsidies, these same types of job placement programs, these same types of housing gifts, why are they not given to just poor Minnesotans? People who lost their jobs because of NAFTA. The young white guy that just wants to own a gas station. Humble entrepreneur. Constantly disadvantaged while everybody else in the world constantly rolling in the dough provided by us. We'll get to the Ukraine stuff on the other side. I do want to remind you that we've got new products at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Power Plant is the advanced adaptogen complex. And adaptogen is what your body uses to deal with stress. So this is a very powerful stress-fighting supplement available now.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, X, Y, Z.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the methylene blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. We've got a bunch more videos to get to and stories to cover here in the final segment of The American Journal. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go to support everything that we do here. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. You want to let them know who sent you. We've got two incredible new products available. The Power Plant Advanced Adaptogen Complex, designed for real performance. Power Plant is the ultimate adaptogen fortress complex, forged to unleash natural energy, crush stress invaders, and fortify hormone armor without the weak crashes of fake boosters. It's got a number of really amazing supplements, vitamins, and minerals that work together to maximize their power. Again, adaptogens are basically how your body deals with stress. So if you're feeling particularly stressed and want to transmute that anxiety into energy to deal with the problems facing you. Power Plant from thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison is a fantastic product for you. Take a look at some of the reviews. Practically all five-star, certified five-star product. Steady energy all day. My stress levels dropped fast. More drive, better mood. And in addition to that, we have the Methyl Drive, which is a mitochondrial support blend. It's a powerhouse blend engineered to ignite your cellular energy, sharpen mental focus, and supercharge metabolic firepower like never before. Packed with methylated B12, CoQ10, and PQQ, it blasts fuel straight from your cell's command centers, making you think faster, fight harder, and reclaim your vitality. Teamed up with magnesium biglycinate for peak muscles and nerve dominance, and bioperine for maximum uptake, each capsule is a weapon against fatigue. So again, this is about maximizing your body's energy production at the cellular level. That's Methyl Drive and Power Plant. And you can get both of these together and get an additional 50% off with a monthly delivery of this bundle, including Methyl Drive and Power Plant together, just $69.99. Warning, this combination can be up to 10 times as powerful than our incredibly popular product, Turbo Force. So if you're a fan of Turbo Force, try the Power Drive bundle today. The two-part assault on fatigue, brain fog, and low performance. Power Plant lays the groundwork, boosting circulation, stabilizing stress response, and unlocking your body's ability to absorb and direct energy like a damn command center. No jitters, no crash, just clean support that keeps your system primed and responsive. Then comes Methyl Drive, a mitochondrial sledgehammer packed with methylated B12, CoQ10, and PQQ to fuel your cellular engines, sharpen mental clarity, and ramp up metabolic output. Together, these two create a bioelectric power system. One regulates the grid, the other cranks the voltage. Unleash focus, dominate your day, never power down. Get them together for an additional discount. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. Again, two new incredible products. I haven't had a chance to try them yet because I've been on vacation, but I'll be dipping in to the supply later today. I think I've said all I want to about Somalians in this country. Although I will say it is interesting that over the last week or so, we can go to clip number 14 and 15 here, and we can just play them as B-roll. Mexico City has been the scene of protests and riots against so-called gentrification. Gentrification being the fancy word for white people moving in. So apparently, and you can see pretty destructive scenes here, and there were even scenes of Mexican Antifa committing violence and vandalism, protesting against the influx of white people, Americans, moving to Mexico and working remotely while enjoying the low costs of that country. And yeah, good for them. Yeah, if they don't want foreigners in their country, they shouldn't have to put up with it. It's because I'm consistent in my beliefs. Can you imagine? This is why I don't understand. This is why I like struggle to deal with any of this, because it's like I'm at times an overly empathetic person. It's like not good sometimes. And so you can put yourself in the mindset of other people really easily. And it's usually easy to understand, you know, where the outrage is coming from. But then you've got a situation like this. And it's like, okay, now I'm literally in the position of like Mexicans. Claudia Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico. And I cannot imagine telling the Americans who live in Mexico City, like, you need to go out there and protest, wave an American flag, and, you know, throw rocks at Mexican cops to stay there. Like, I literally can't imagine the mindset that would see the natives of a country protesting against the influx of immigrants and say, they're the bad guys. The immigrants deserve to live in their country. The immigrants are more Mexican than these guys are. It's like, it's so absurd. They don't want white people in their country? That's a first, but okay. Kill a gringo. with the vandalism set right there. Now we have a literal clown talking about this. Again, these are all Antifa scum. I mean, this is, it's weird. Again, this is why you struggle to, so you've got, so Mexican Antifa are nationalists? What? Because you're telling me that the leftists in Mexico are the ones protesting immigration. So it's just, it's another example of how leftism in its entirety is just anti-whiteism. It means that in America, you're in favor of immigration because you want more non-white people here. And in Mexico or anywhere else in the world, you're against immigration of Americans because you want less white people there. Now that I think about it, it's actually a totally consistent platform to have. It actually makes total sense why lefties would be against immigration into Mexico and for immigration into America, because at the end of the day, all they care about is disadvantaging and getting revenge against white people for existing. So I guess that makes sense. Yeah, and that's why, you know, you gotta shed the psychological manipulation that makes you think it's like somehow rude or not patriotic to, you know, demand that a bunch of Somalis in this country be expelled, even if they were technically, legally given temporary protective status that they allowed to expire. And it's like, okay, I don't care. They're not American. They should leave. And nobody else has the slightest hesitation about saying that, nor should they. So that's that. That's just how it is. I said, you know, I grew up in the 90s. I was bombarded with the indoctrination. You're supposed to believe that pointing out some Somalian goblin talking about, we can get, just elect me and we'll get their money. We'll get all of their money if you just elect me, inshallah. Inshallah, we will take it from them. Yeah, he's not American. He needs to get the hell out. We don't want him here, and he doesn't belong here. And nobody else in any other country, anywhere in the world outside of Western Europe, would have the slightest hesitation in saying that, so why should we? The story, I don't even want to, it's like, I don't understand what has happened to Donald Trump. It would be one thing if it seemed like he was trying to achieve his goals and was being foiled. We're used to that. We actually expect that. We understand that what Trump is up against as an avatar of America First and the American people is an entrenched, long-lived deep state with total power that has insinuated itself into every branch of the government and has a stranglehold over American foreign policy and even domestic policy. If Trump was being foiled or resisted, I can understand that. I can rationalize that. I can comprehend that. What I don't have any rationalization for, what I don't have any justification for, is how Trump has completely flipped on his intentions. He doesn't seem to be fighting against the deep state anymore. He seems to be doing their bidding. And I'd love to be surprised by this. I would love for this all to be 5D chess. It doesn't look like it is. The story's from Financial Times. Donald Trump asks Volodymyr Zelensky if Ukraine could hit Moscow, say people briefed on call. Even Biden didn't go this far. At the end of Biden's term, in a desperate attempt to kickstart World War III, while he still could, he sent, for the first time, long-range missiles that had the ability to impact Moscow, and indeed some of the attacks against Russia, deep inside Russia, you know, happened as a consequence of Biden supplying those weapons. But at least he had the wherewithal to, like, act like he didn't want that. But now you've got Trump actually telling Zelensky to bomb Moscow and St. Petersburg. What the hell? Is really all I have to say about this. Donald Trump has privately encouraged Ukraine to step up deep strikes on Russian territory, even asking Volodymyr Zelensky whether he could strike Moscow if the U.S. provided long-range weapons, according to people briefed on the discussion. This conversation took place during the July 4th call between U.S. and Ukrainian leaders. It marks a sharp departure from Trump's previous stance on Russia's war and his campaign promise to end U.S. involvement with foreign countries. While it remains unclear whether Russia will deliver such weapons, the discussion underscores Trump's deepening frustration with Russian President Vladimir Putin's refusal to engage in ceasefire talks proposed by the U.S. president, who once vowed to resolve the war in a day. Quote, Volodymyr, can you hit Moscow? Can you hit St. Petersburg too? Trump asked on the call, according to the people. They said Zelensky replied, absolutely, we can if you give us the weapons. Trump signals his backing for the idea, describing the strategy as intended to, quote, make them, Russians, feel the pain and force Kremlin to the negotiating table, according to the two people briefed on the call. Now, does he think this will work? That's the question. Does he really think this is going to work? So the condition on the ground is that Russia is winning. Now, they're feeling the pain. They've lost a lot of people. They've spent a lot of money. That being said, their economy still doing quite well. The sanctions did not have the intended effect. They've strengthened their partnership with the likes of China. And they've been able to make a lot of money because Western Europe shut down all of their fuel production because Greta Thunberg told them to. So why would they go to the negotiating table? They're winning the war. A war that we started. Or that we waged for 10 years clandestinely with CIA bases hidden within Ukraine, helping to carry out the terrorist attacks against the people of the east of that country who refused to accept the coup that the American State Department pulled off and placed a puppet in the president's office. Why would Russia stop? Why would they stop? I think Trump has this idea that he can just ask nicely for Putin to stop, and so Putin will stop. But he has no reason to. He's got guys on the battlefield who will die if he stops. You have to keep the pressure up. The war is ongoing. The plane is in the air. You can try to fix it while it's flying. You can't expect them to land it. So what's actually going to happen as a consequence of this? Well, what would you do if you were Putin? I wouldn't be surprised if later today there's a statement from Russia saying, you know what comes next. You bomb Moscow and St. Petersburg. Maybe they'll start using tactical nukes in Ukraine. Maybe they will, you know, go to war directly with NATO. I mean, if I was America's enemies right now, I'd be feeling really good. I'd be feeling really good. I'd be seeing the way that America is continuing to sort of devolve and collapse, and the strife and the Epstein files and the illegitimacy of our government becoming clear and the people being pissed off. And I mean, domestically, you're feeling good about the trajectory America is on if you're Russia or China. You're also making bank off of America's decisions, especially if you're China. If I was Russia and China right now, they could do it tomorrow. They could do it in a month. But the way things are progressing, the longer they wait, the more advantage they have, the better position they're in to stockpile weapons, build up their army, and launch a sneak attack everywhere at once. That's what I would do if I was them. If I was Russia and China and Iran right now, if I was that sort of axis of powers opposed to the West and Israel and America and India, then I would be preparing for a massive invasion of Western Europe by Russian forces, probably take out Berlin in like an afternoon. They don't have an army there anymore. NATO is obviously, you know, arming and preparing for this. They want to start a world war. They've been telling their people for a very long time to be prepared for war on your soil. Have 72 hours worth of food. Make sure you have your gas masks. You know, publishing evacuation protocols in the event of an airstrike. They're getting their people ready. Obviously, if I was China, I'd be preparing to invade Taiwan. But you couldn't do it piecemeal. You'd have to do it all at once. Because obviously, if China attacks Taiwan, we've recently said, Trump said that he would bomb Beijing. So you would want to do that without assurances that Russia would, you know, be helping you defend against missile batteries in Japan. And Russia would probably have to do something like nuke Turkey. They probably don't have the manpower to invade that. And that's where most of our nuclear armament is, the American nukes that are stationed in Turkey within, you know, launching range of Russia and Moscow. I'm just saying, if I was them, they're in a very good position because they've got a couple of options here. They can just wait us out as America continues to decline, as we continue to lash out, as we continue to spend infinite money on wars overseas, as we continue to destroy our own, you know, international reputation by our endless support of the genocidal state of Israel. We're on a bad trajectory. They can just wait. And the longer they wait, the better position that they're in. Or they could launch a gigantic sneak attack knowing that NATO is stretched thin and has basically disarmed itself by endlessly supplying munitions to Israel and Ukraine. We literally do not have the weaponry necessary to combat Russia, and we don't have the manufacturing capabilities necessary to make up for the huge amounts of stockpiles that we've expended in the last 2 years in Ukraine and Israel. We can handle things if everything happens individually. If everything happens at once, there's no way we could handle it. There's no way that we could handle an invasion of Taiwan, naval strikes in the South China Sea, you know, rushing bombing sorties near Alaska, coming down the west coast of America, plus an invasion of NATO, plus an all-out assault with ground troops from Iran invading Israel. I mean, if they launched an all-out attack, I don't think we would survive it. But they don't have to. They can just wait. They're in a good position. So I don't know what Trump thinks he's doing here. So far, Russia has not experienced a huge amount of attacks within its own territory. There have been some bombings in Moscow. There was the big, you know, drone attack against all the nuclear bombers last month. But they've been able to sort of slow play Ukraine because most of the battle, pretty much all the battling is going on in Ukraine. If Moscow starts getting bombed, if missiles start striking the Kremlin itself on a regular basis, why would they not start using tactical nukes? Why would they not go gloves off in Ukraine and just take over the whole country? Yeah, we don't care. Russian officials, media react to Trump's Ukraine war ultimatum. They're humiliating Trump. They really are. America's not the monolithic superpower it once was, but we're still acting like it. A Western official who'd been informed of the call between Trump and Zelensky said the conversation reflected a growing desire amongst Ukraine's Western partners to supply long-range weapons capable of bringing the war to the Muscovites, a sentiment echoed privately by American officials in recent weeks. Why are American officials so desperate to kill Russians? It's just a weird, pervasive, sort of sickening mindset. We need to bring the war to the Muscovites. The Muscovite? The people who live in the Russians? Can we just end the war? Why don't we just end the war instead? What about you do the thing you campaigned on and said you'd have done in 24 hours? Ukraine can't fight this war without American weaponry. I mean, a part of this, it is likely more difficult for Trump because we know and we reported on it at the time before Trump was ever inaugurated, before he was even elected. NATO, the UN, all of the various actors involved in the Ukraine war were Trump-proofing their weaponry, right? So they were signing agreements saying we will provide money to Ukraine for the next 5 to 10 years. Basically going, hey, Trump's going to try to cut us off. Let's make an agreement so it's guaranteed until Trump is out of office at least, and then we'll revisit it. So I don't know if Trump is, you know, his plan was to just cut Ukraine off, but because of the agreements that were signed before he was in office, that supply is guaranteed, so that's not an option for him anymore. Or if he, you know, is desperate to get the rare earth minerals, and so he's decided that war against Russia is actually a good idea. I don't know what's going on, but I think all speculation is valid because this is a complete reversal of Trump's position forever. Since his first administration, since he tried to prevent the invasion of Ukraine by Russia in 2017 and was impeached for that effort. So why is he now going along with it? Why is he now accelerating it? He's not just perpetuating it, he's escalating it himself, asking Zelensky to bomb Moscow and St. Petersburg. So as far as I can tell with the outlay of the geopolitical environment right now, this is not going to help bring an end to the war. It's only going to exacerbate it. It's not going to bring Putin to the negotiation table. It's only going to convince him to end the war on his terms even quicker. This is a ridiculous quagmire that never should have been allowed to start. And it's entirely the American deep state hell-bent on destroying Moscow as it sees it as a nationalistic barrier to their globalist intentions that Trump is now working for and with. Again, I'd love to be surprised. Hey, maybe we, you know, bomb an apartment building in Moscow and Putin says, whoa, man, whoa. All right, let's talk. This is scary. I don't want to keep getting bombed. Yeah, maybe that happens, maybe. I think much more likely is we open ourselves up to that type of attack. You open up Kiev to that type of attack. And you encourage Putin to see Trump as just another deep state operative in control of the American military-industrial complex.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr.'s loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, that, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we got to maybe try to get
I think it's about the wing blue.